Hello everyone, this is Style Tekel with from Echoes of the Caverns doing the weekly newscast. Got a few disclaimers to throw out there for you. First one is, you'll notice it's just me. And if you haven't kept up with things lately, you might be saying, where's Lord Baldrith? Where's Sleepius? Where's the special guest? And you might be a little concerned. Don't be. We just have a two-week minor interruption of our normal programming, and then it will return to normal. Mostly normal. Lord Baldrith is, we'll say, away for an unknown period of time due to some life events, unforeseen things that come up that sometimes hit us all, and he just isn't able to focus on any of his hobbies right now, like doing this newscast, and we anxiously await his return, although we do not know when that will be. Asclepius, on the other hand, is temporarily stepping up and taking the captain seat for Lord Baldrith to cover while he's away, because we do that for each other. Unfortunately, Asclepius must also be away due to some life things just for 2 weeks. So he will be returning after 2 weeks, and at that point in time, the news show will go back to its regular format with Asclepius doing news with, if not Lord Baldrith at that point, by then someone else covering for Lord Baldrith, such as myself or another community member, and then we will also be bringing guests back on. I'm not 100% sure that I'll schedule a guest for his first Friday return, only because we'll be getting back into the swing of things again, and it might be a little easier to just do a two-person newscast that Friday and then add a guest the Friday after, but we'll see how that goes. So we apologize for the interruption and the awesome program that you've gotten used to. Unfortunately, I do not have the audio editing skills that either Lord Baldrith or Sleepius have, and while I'm sure I could learn them, it doesn't seem worth the learning curve for just doing just covering for two Fridays. So, without further ado, I'm going to do the news. I'm going to try to move through it fairly quickly. As I said, this is in a way like a live broadcast, even though you'll be hearing it after the fact, as I will not be doing any editing work whatsoever on this. Unfortunately, that means that we are not going to have the cool Shroud of the Avatar overture from Stephen J. Goldman playing in this as the background music. We won't have the very cool intro, and we won't have the cool exit. So this was kind of the intro, and let's do the news. So I'm going to cover two aspects of the news. I'm going to do the recap of kind of the Portalarium official news piece that you're used to hearing about. But since I'm also doing this solo, I'm probably going to cover quite a few news pieces that I've posted about on the Caverns Dungeons and Beyonds at www.thecaverns.net over the last week. So covering the update of the Avatar, we're on number 93. Just amazing that we're 93 weeks into this game. And of course, we just had R10 last weekend, so a lot of it's about R10. We start out with a release 10 perspectives from Star Long, and you know, just go ahead and go over and check that out. I'm not going to do commentary on it, simply because it's just me, and the whole point of the show is having a couple people talk about things, and I'm not going to hold a conversation with myself. Fire Lotus had a release 10 party that was a birthday party at Port Phoenix, and it was Amber Rain's birthday that weekend, and Fire Lotus was DJing on Avatar's radio, so if you didn't have a chance to check that out, it was pretty cool. There's some nice images posted. There was line dancing, and of course during the whole event, Fire Lotus was DJing on Avatar's radio. If you hit my website or the Caverns, there's some articles posted over in the forums showing some video clips and so forth. If I have not posted links to those on my website, I will be doing that. I know I've seen them, which means I've either posted them or they're on my to-do list. The other thing we have from this release of the news is that there was a hangout with Richard Starr and Chris where they talked about release 10 and what they're looking for in release 11. I have not had a chance to watch that video yet, so you're gonna have to check it out for yourself. I can't give you any spoilers. The cool thing is Star posted a fourth quarter schedule in the forums, and they did put a copy of that on this week's update. I read that actually earlier today in the forums, and a lot of great things coming for the next quarter, which covers release 11, 12, and 13. This is one of the things that are going to be very popular, I think, is that they're going to start delving into some of the basic guild functions in release 12. And they're going to actually start delving into the banking system, which I think is pretty cool. That also means that pledge rewards that are tied to your account are actually going to be tied to your account and starting out in your bank. The reason they'll start in your bank is you're not over encumbered. There's been some speculation on this in the forums about, hey, when episode one comes out and you have all these pledge items on your account and you create your character, where are they all going to be? Well, at least for the testing, they're going to have them in your bank. I don't know that that will be the answer for episode one, but I guess if it goes well in testing, that might be the direction they decide to go. We're also going to start seeing some tutorials and many other cool things. So be sure to go read what's coming up for the next quarter. The next thing I'm going to talk about is the Duke Pledge Custom Avatars. I'm going to pause for 1 second, sorry. Okay, so if you hear the occasional pause, I apologize since we're not going to be able to edit pauses out. I'm actually going to hit a pause button. I'm having a pretty bad end of season allergy season, so my throat gets scratchy really quick. Okay, so the Duke Pledge Custom Avatars. I'm pretty excited about this myself, seeing as I'm going to get one of these. It's always much easier to get excited about something you're going to get, but they show a couple examples on the site of two people that are actually a duchess and a lord of the manor, a picture of their real life face, and then how that will transfer over into an avatar. And I think they're pretty fantastic. I loved seeing Francisco used for this, as Francisco's become a friend of mine, someone I talk to a lot. He's a great guy. When I became a lord of the manor, he actually was the first one that knew, and it was like he held a party for me, really walking me into it, and made it a fun occasion. It was awesome for me, at least, to pop this open and see Francisco there on the front page, and then see what his avatar is probably going to look like or potentially look like. And I think it's a very, very good likeness for both images. I do love the fact that they keep the features, yet they thin down the face, because you know what? Most of us have a few more pounds on us than we'd like, so that thinning down's awesome. I'm working on losing mine in real life, but I definitely don't mind when it comes time to have my avatar done in the game if they cheat and thin that out for me. They released a image of the Lord Marshal coordinated helmet, which is kind of cool. The pledge reward Nightshade Mandrake and Garlic reagents have been released as far as what those pledge rewards will look like. The next thing they released is not really so much Shroud of the Avatar related, but for those of you who don't know, Star Long is an avid watch collector. I cannot remember the number of watches he has. I believe it's around 150, 130, somewhere in that area. I've read about quite a few of them. I've seen quite a few videos where he talks about them. I actually had an opportunity to meet Star, and I thought about taking him a watch, but I had no idea what kind of watch I would have given him as a gift, so I opted to pass on it, to be honest. But it's a pretty cool collection, and there is a video. It's an interview by Fandomania, where they interviewed Starlong on watch collecting. I have not watched that, but it is definitely on my to-do list. Next up, also, you might have heard about this in the last news release, Character Armor Variations Part 2 on Pen of the Avatar is coming up on 7th. So if you're kind of the Avatar fan, you should definitely check that out. Now here's the big one. And the reason I think this is the big one is because it's been talked about in the forums so heavily. It's been a highly, highly debatable topic. You have people on both extremes, and then of course at different variations in the middle of that scale, as far as whether this should be done. But I guess Portalarium has decided to do it, which does not surprise me, and that is that they are now accepting Bitcoin. So if you want to pay for your pledge, increase your pledge, add-on purchases from the store, and so forth, it indicates that you are able to do those things and player-owned towns also using Bitcoins. So you Bitcoin people out there are going to love that. Personally, I do not own any Bitcoins. I'd never be opposed to it. I'm kind of on the neutral fence on them, but willing to delve into it and accept new things. I know that Richard Garriott is a supporter of Bitcoin. He's talked about them in the past. For those of you who really, really watch the articles I post over on thecaverns.net, including some of the really offbeat, odd ones, you'll have seen a piece I posted one time where Richard actually paid for cab fare for the first time ever in New York using Bitcoin. And I think when you can catch a cab and pay for your cab for using Bitcoin, that to me that shouts that Bitcoin is going to come here and stay. I guess the next thing would be fast food. When you can pull through a drive-through and pay for fast food with Bitcoin, that's when, to me, you know it's solid. So we'll have to keep an eye open for that. I know I remember the early days of using credit cards and debit cards for everything. I was one of the first people that I knew to go away from cash and checkbooks, to not wanting to carry money around, and to just use a credit card, which in a way is very similar to the Bitcoin in some ways, obviously vastly different than others. And it was very frustrating to me that one of the last places to ever accept credit cards was fast food drive-thrus, because I would have my credit card in my wallet, no cash, and would see a McDonald's and go, man, I really want a double cheeseburger, and I would be SOL. Okay, so then also on the news thing, as always, Alienware sponsor $20 pledge upgrade coupon. If you don't know about that by now, email me. We'll discuss it. And then they have some upcoming events listed. A couple things on that as we delve into other news. The big one on there coming up, of course, if you are a Duke, Duchess, or Lord of the Manor pledge level, is on November 14th. There is a VIP design roundtable at the Portalarium Studios, which leads us into a non-Portalarium event on the 15th of November, Hobloth 2 Legends of the Hearth. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because people that follow my news and activities are very aware that I have been very adamant. I would love to go to the Hobloth 2, but I just cannot make it happen. Too many roadblocks, the first of which being finances. Well, some things have changed. No, my finances still unfortunately do suck at this time, and that's probably not going to change for a couple years, the way it's looking. However, I have been able to mitigate the cost to do this trip, and with some help from family, I am going to be able to go. So my very adamant stance of I can't go has done a complete 360. I have booked a flight. I have submitted an RSVP. The RSVP has been accepted. I have submitted the money, and over the next few weeks, I will be finalizing little details that I need to take care of to go. And so I'm very excited about the Hobloth 2. There are 12 spots left for those that want to go. So if you're interested, I suggest you get over to thehearthofbritannia.com and get that RSVP submitted to Rustic Dragon, and get payment sent to him and all that good stuff if you're accepted, so that you can go to the Hobloth 2. The Hobloth, for those who are not aware, the first Hobloth was a recreation of the Lord of the Manor dinner that took place at Richard Garriott's. Primarily a recreation in the sense of the food served. Rustic Dragon served the food at Richard Garriott's for the first Lord of the Manor dinner, and he tried to recreate that menu item for item at the Hobloth 1. Now that was not 100% successful. There was a few items he couldn't do, namely Silverleaf was the big one that I kind of missed because I did tend to the Hobloth 1. I can say with certainty that Rustic Dragon's cooking skills is absolutely fantastic. It was some of the best food I'd had. Hobloth 2 is nothing like Hobloth 1. And one of his big disclaimers, I think it's important that you are all aware of, is this is not a Portalarium event. Yes, Shroud of the Avatar fans are welcome to go so long as they meet certain criteria. That being the core theme of the event being one of those criteria. And Portalarium, of course, is helping to support that event because it is a community event and there is a lot of crossover. Because what it's about is Ultima. And so many of us that are interested in Shroud of the Avatar have our roots from Ultima, not only in the community, but obviously Richard Garriott and many of the people on the dev team. And for that reason, it makes sense to kind of cross-promote this event. But ultimately, the event is a Rustic Dragon event, and it is an Ultima-themed event. And that is the first thing you should be aware of before signing up to go, because if you know nothing about Ultima, I believe the statement is this event probably isn't for you. However, if you know nothing about Ultima and you're very interested in learning more about Ultima and you RSVP and say, hey, I really, really want to come, I want to learn more about Ultima, I'm interested and I'm installing Ultima 2 right now and I'm going to be playing that this weekend and I'm going to be reading the wikis and things like that, go for it. Rustic's a reasonable person, and as long as you have an interest and a passion and it's genuine and you're being virtuous, I am sure he would take that into consideration and allow you to go. I could be wrong, so as the Portalarium devs have become fond of saying, don't lure me, bro, but I would think that he would. There are other requirements to be able to attend the event, but head over to his webpage to see what all of those requirements are. The big thing to keep in mind, in my opinion, is that this is an active event. The first Hobloth was a get-together, eat, chit-chat, drink lots of liquor, too much in my case, and there were reasons for that, but anyway, you know, really that was it. That was the event. This one is more in design with the famous Richard Garriott parties, and if you're not familiar with the famous Richard Garriott events, do some research on them. Just to throw out a couple of highlights, his brother has been known to fly a helicopter with UFO underneath the bottom of it, and he's sunk the Titanic with the mayor on it and the mayor's wife on it. I don't think we'll see anything to that level from this event, obviously, but he's recreating that general go all out themed event. And what that requires is it requires participation, and he wants to tie that into Ultima. So the idea behind the event is that you will take a moon gate and transport into Ultima-esque type world on Richard Garriott's property. You must be in garb. You must try to be in character, whatever that would be for you. And you're going to go questing, and you're going to do things, and you need to participate, you need to be active, you know, don't be entitled, you know, understand what you're doing, what you're going for, and agree that you're going to do that and you're going to have a good time. Now, if you need more enticement than that, which really, that on its own should be enough to say, hey, this is something cool I want to go to. If that on its own is not enough, well, look at our guest list. I mean, we have a lot of great community members going to this thing. Brown Coat Jason's going to be there. Rustic Dragon's going to be there. Amber Rain is tentative, but looking good. Violation is going. You know, I mean, it's a great guest list. I'm not going to read it all, but go check that guest list out, and that is added incentive to go to not only participate in these great events with good food, you know, great people, really good people. I know most of the people that are going to this event, and some of them I've met in person, some of them I've just spoken to, but fantastic guest list. But if you even need more incentive to go than that, let's look at the special guests that are going to be there. And keep in mind, they are there playing a role. A role as an Ultima persona. The role that the persona in the Ultima games was developed based on who they are. And that would be, of course, Richard Guerrier as Lord British, David Watson as Yolo, Star Long as Lord Blackthorn. You know, you're going to have Dr. Cat there. I mean, this is just, you know, fantastic, fantastic guest list that goes on and on and on. And really, really highly featured. One of my favorite reasons for going. Just as bonus, as like, wow, you know, I'm going to this cool thing. And they're going to be there. The Space Bars are going to be there performing a live concert in Richard Garriott's Curtain Theater on his property. So, enough about the Hobloth. If all that stuff isn't enticement for you to go, it's either because you know you cannot meet the requirements, or you're just not that interested in all that stuff, or you have a issue where you just, no matter how bad you want to, you can't. So, enough said on it. But if you think you can go, if you think you are interested, there's 12 spots left. Get over there, check them out, and do it. Okay, so I'm going to recap a few news pieces that I've posted on the website. The first one, I haven't posted much on this. Amber Rain has been awesome and putting a little bit in the forums on it. Last Saturday, we released episode 1 of the Avatar Chronicles. This is a podcast recording of a piece of fan fiction written by Gabriel Nightshadow that is done in, different people would call it different things. Some call it an audio play. Some call it done in the style of a audio book. Me, the way I see it is it's an old time radio show. And I like that comparison because we are very much amateurs that put this together. And it fits in with Shroud of the Avatar and old technology, and you know, maybe the audio is not always perfectly even, and you don't always have the best sound effects, and you know, it kind of fits in with that steampunk-esque Tesla Tower powered, you know, Avatar's radio being in the game, technology aspect of the game, and that I could very much see something like this being put together in New Britannia to be aired in New Britannia. And so when I tell people about the podcast, I really compare them to old-time radio shows. And I'm also a fan of old-time radio shows. I have about 20 gigs of them that are not copyrighted because they were created before copyrights existed, far enough before so that they were never copyrighted. There are some, be careful out there, people that go looking for those. There are some old-time radio shows out there that kind of hit that borderline, and copyrights were renewed, and they are copyrighted. So be careful you're not accidentally pirating, but you will find most old-time radio shows do not hold a copyright on them, and they're really very entertaining. And If anyone's looking for those, let me know and I'll hook you up with non-copywritten ones. So this being in the style of an old-time radio show has over 25 people who have voice acted for it. Some people are doing multiple characters. Of course, you have your narrators, and then you have many, many characters that were taken on by many, many different people to portray different voices, different emotions, and it's voice acting. And even though we are an amateur group, we even have a few what I would call professional or semi-professional voice actors that participated. So it is an amazing production. The lines were recorded individually by each person and then sent to Lord Baldrith, who painstakingly took a single file that could have, you know, many, many sentences in it, and cutting out sometimes single words and putting them in the right place in the right order among everyone else's line. Now think about that, everyone. 25 people send you, I don't know how much, but probably about 3 hours worth of nothing but them speaking. And you take that and break it down word by word to edit it into one production. You remove all the background noises that are recording into it. You edit, you know, the quality so that it's comparable from piece to piece. An amazing, amazing task of audio editing that would require a lot of patience by anyone, and he made sure that he got that done and to us before he had to go away for a while. And then he passed it on to Asclepius as one single MP3 file, and Asclepius in turn has been breaking that apart into 4 episodes, putting introductions into it, creating the credits for it, and adding in over, it may not be over, it might be right at, but 50 musical tracks as background music. The background music chosen by Gabriel Nightshadow, who, being the author of the story, was able to say, this piece of music conveys the mood of this scene, and so that I want this piece of music to be in here. And so amazing audio editing work from Asclepius, taking those musical pieces and editing those tracks into the vocals and syncing that all up and creating the 4 episodes. We released the first episode last Saturday. I believe it was very well received. I thought it was fantastic. I love listening to it. And even though Asclepius is away, all 4 episodes have been completed. They will be airing on Avatars Radio every Saturday, one episode per week. So tomorrow we have episode 2, the Saturday after that we have episode 3, and so forth. And it's great stuff, and I hope that you're able to tune in and listen to episode 2. Avatars Radio will be airing those at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, which is 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We've worked with Avatars Radio. Amber Rain did a little bit of voice work for this, as did one of the DJs. They also helped us a little bit in trying to do some of the casting call. Time Lord helped with doing some of the casting call initially also. And then towards the end of the production, I got the last 10 to 15 people that we needed to wrap things up. And working with Avatars Radio, we felt that releasing it as a live airing for each episode the first time was the way to go. It is an Echoes from the Cavern production, though, so after that airing, it's being posted on the Echoes from the Cavern's website. For those of you not familiar with it, that's at www.thecaverns.net/podcasts, with podcasts having a capital P. And you can go to that website after the airing, give it about an hour, and it will be there. Asclepius set it up so each episode, each week, will automatically post. He's already put all those up, and they're on a timer. to AutoPost at the appropriate times each week. And what's really fantastic is you can go there, you can download it, you can throw it on your favorite MP3 player, your phone, listen to it on your computer, you can listen to it live straight from the webpage, 24/7 at your convenience on your schedule, or you can also get it from iTunes. On iTunes, just search for Echoes of the Caverns, and we are a podcast on iTunes. If you use a podcasting software other than iTunes, go to the Echoes website, and in the About section, there is the a link that you can put in any podcasting software to pull that up on your subscription service. Either catch it live on Avatar's Radio, or if you're not able to do that, then go there and replay it at your convenience. Avatar's Radio will probably be replaying them from time to time, I'm sure. And we got some other things we're in talks about, so definitely both are great venues. Just whatever fits your lifestyle and your schedule best for you. Okay, so that's a little bit more about that project, which I'm sorry, but I do get excited about. It was a lot of work for about three months for all of us, and there were times where it was looking like we were not going to be able to pull it off, and so the fact that is now airing is extremely, extremely exciting and a bit surreal to all of us. All right, so some quick news from my website that I posted in the last week. I did post a link to the various news pieces from the web, and I guess that's the best way to put it. Anytime there's a release, for those who aren't aware, everyone starts talking about Shadow of the Avatar a little bit before, during, and a little bit after. not only about Shadow of the Avatar, but you'll start seeing interviews on different topics with Richard and Star and so forth pop up, and those different things. And rather than doing an article on every one of them, I just posted one large article with a short description of what each article is about and a link directly to it. And there's probably about 15 of those as a rough estimate. And so check it out. There's Richard Garriott and Star visiting Ultima Online again for the 17th anniversary. There's all kinds of articles about Shroud of the Avatar being greenlit on Steam. All kinds of great things. next up, this is coming up in the future, but it's being talked about now, is Violation is hosting a hangout on Saturday, October 11th at 7 p.m. Eastern. And if you hit my website, there's a link to the forum thread where that's being discussed, where you can sign up to join in on that and so forth. There were a lot of events during R10, and I did a lot of articles on a lot of those events, so you can get the details on those, whether you want to find out who the winners of or the Bear Tavern were, the winners of the Vengeance tournaments, and so forth. Rustic Dragon did have a Dragon's Meet on September 21st. This last week I did get a little note up on that, as well as a link to the YouTube video for it. So if you weren't able to attend that or watch it then, go pop over to my website and hit that YouTube link. there was a video community hangout that Violation recently did on skills in Shroud of the Avatar, and there is a link that you can go grab to watch that video. Some of the members of, there have been a lot of player-owned town tools being released by the community. There was another spreadsheet that was recently released, and I have the details on that. So if you're looking to build a player-owned town, you might want to check that out. Of course, I talked about the Avatar's Chronicles a little bit. What I didn't mention about that is for the first airing, with it being release 10, we held a in-game party, and that in-game party was hosted by the Bear Tavern. They allowed us to do that there, and Amber Rain was there, and while it was being played and released on the radio, we gathered, some of us gathered together and game to discuss it and celebrate that. And you'll find some screenshots that I took that are posted. You know, beyond that, there's some various posts on some different forum pieces that I found interesting. I actually held a contest for a game code for some in-game currency for a couple of games. Kind of a niche area there, but it was a code I wanted to put into the hands of a of someone who could use it, and so I had a little raffle on that, and Sundews won that, so congratulations to Sundews. And while the participation was small, I appreciate all those that that participated on that. And I really think that's probably the biggest stuff. I did get a note today from Sir Icicle, who keeps the crafting spreadsheet, that he has made some more updates to that. Nothing big, but looks like they may be pretty cool. I have not had a chance to go in and look at all those yet, but Sir Icicle is turning into a master of Excel with that spreadsheet. It's becoming less intimidating for the user to use. And what I mean by that, it's never been complicated to use. It's always been very simple to use. But anyone that opened it up probably would have looked at it and went, oh, if you're not a familiar Excel user, because it's pretty massive, powerful spreadsheet. And he's done a lot of things to make that easier to update, and more visually appealing so that it's less intimidating. What's important to note about this spreadsheet is it's not just a recipe book. Yeah, it can be that. You can go into it and say, I want to know how to craft a guillotine. So you open it up and you go to the single recipes page and you choose guillotine, and it pops up and you say, okay, then how do I make the guillotine? And now you know how to make the guillotine. However, what it does do beyond that is you can also go in and say, I want to make 30 guillotines, and I want to make 15 dressers and 20 beds and 500 bookshelves and all this other stuff that I need to furnish this house for a duke, for their castle, and they want all this stuff. And you can go in and you can put all that in there and hit craft, and it will now pull all those recipes up. It will pull all the materials it needs for all those recipes and tally them up for you and tell you that you need 7,246 boards, and to get those boards you need 15,000 logs. And it will add that up from all the recipes, or you can filter and sort it down to show you individual crafting types. I just want to know what I need from the tailor, because I'm not a tailor. I can do the rest, but I can't do the tailoring. So then you get a list of just what the tailor needs, and then you can take that list and send it to the tailor and say, I need all this. And you accumulate all those supplies, and you know going into it that when you start crafting, you have everything you need to make that entire list. It will also show you the costs of what it's going to cost you to make all that stuff. You can put in your own custom markup on how much you want to sell it for. If you sell crafting for, 150% more than cost, then you can put 150% in there, and it will show you for every item how much you charge for it, or it will show you how much you should charge for the whole order. Another great use for this is, say you run a PvP guild and you want nothing to do with crafting, but you have a guild castle and you have 50 members, and you're using guild funds to fill the chests in your guild hall, and you want 150 swords and 200 of this type of shield and so forth. You could take that spreadsheet, go in, fill out everything you want, and send it to your favorite crafting guild or your favorite crafting person and say, this is everything I want. How much is it going to cost me? And you can even know what that's going to cost that player to make and decide if their markup's reasonable. So it's pretty powerful even for the non-crafter. So I originally started it, and I had a lot of vision where I wanted to go with it, and Sir Icicle came along and wanted to help, and he's did such a fantastic job and was keeping up with it so much better than I was. I gave him the project, and he's implementing the vision I had so far. I mean, there are things that can't be done until the game comes out or close to the game that haven't been added in yet, but knows everything that I wanted to put into it, and then he's had his own ideas, and then also taken some ideas from the community, and together, those ideas are being implemented to create something bigger and better than any one of us would have thought of. And Sir Icicle is the master craftsman of that spreadsheet to make that happen. So make sure you grab that, and if you hit my website and go back quite a few articles, you'll see a post on his last revision, and I'll probably be doing one at some point here on his next. You can also go to the website, go to the tools page, and go into the crafting section of the tools, and you'll see a link for it there, and an instructional video on how to use it if it seems a little complicated to you. Yeah. I was able to open it with his last revision, which was a major difference in how it was used, and within 5 to 10 minutes of playing around with it, I understand how it worked with his changes, pretty much making the user aspect of it completely different, so it's really not that complicated. And that's really it. That's all I'm going to cover. If you hop on there, you'll see some other cool things, but little pieces, and I don't want to delve into each one of them. So that is this week's news broadcast. Again, I apologize for the format. What you're hearing is probably quite a bit what we do when we record it, but unfortunately we are normally able to go in and edit out, remove duplicate references, remove pauses, remove clearings of throats and coughings, and add sound effects and music and that sort of thing. And like I said, I'm just not able to do that, so unfortunately this is as long as normal with a lot of unnecessary material due to us not being able to edit. I'm going to try to do some closing credits, though. Echoes from the Caverns is a joint project by Lord Baldrith, Sleepius, and Style Tekel. And Echoes from the Caverns is a podcasting site, and I've already given you information in this recording where you can find that information. And thank you to Avatars Radio, who also plays the works that we help produce. And it is a community project, and I would like to say a special thank you to the New Britannia Theater Troupe. And the New Britannia Theater Troupe is any person who has ever contributed in any way to the Echoes from the Caverns podcasting, whether that be an author, whether that be a musician, whether that be someone who gave us sound effects or a voice actor or anything else. The New Britannia Theater Troupe is kind of like the crossover to Real World's Actors Guild. If you are an actor in the real world, you get a Guild Actors card after you put so many hours into acting and you're in. There's no membership fees and it's an automatic thing. It's kind of an honorific. Unlike real life, the New Britannia Theater Troupe doesn't give you any bonuses or perks, but it's an honorific that we give to everyone that participates, and if you contributed once in any way, you are a member, and you are a part of the community that helps makes this successful, and really, even beyond that, you, the audience. So, thank you very much, and I'll do this again next week, and I will bore you even more next week until Sleepius gets back and can do this again for you properly. So until then, thank you for putting up with these the temporary interruption in our regularly scheduled program format, and I look forward to when we return to the more professional and polished format. Thank you.